Thank you. próximo.
In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 28, the scripture says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Amen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." enjoy that, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
For those who do not know, I regularly don't walk that slow and read the scriptures that slow. And so it was all part of the drama. But we appreciate each and every person that had to do with our mini drama. And choir's been working hard. Everybody's been working hard. And so we appreciate that. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to do a couple things. We're going to take up, first of all, our tithes. This will be the first offering. And then after that, we're going to have our Easter offering. And what I want to do, as we do at Christmas time, I want to do that for Easter this time, meaning we have the offering plates down front. And if you have a special Easter offering that you would like to give, you can bring it down front. That'll be the second offering. Again, the first one is for tithes, and then we will let you know when we're prepared for the second. All right, men, if you'd come on down. While they're coming, I just want to call attention to a lovely young couple on the second row right here. These are my grandparents, and Barbara and Jack Furr are with us this morning. And my grandmother's been here before. My grandfather has not. So this is his first time being here. And we're just so thankful and grateful to have you here. And thank you for putting up with me and keeping me in line and everything you did back in the wild days. And so I'm grateful to God that I'm alive and able to tell about it, of the life-changing power the Lord Jesus makes in someone's life. Well, let's pray over the offering. Again, this is for tithes, and it's just a 10% honoring the Lord with what He's blessed you with. And then on the second round, we're going to do, again, the Easter offering. Father, we love you. We thank you today. I thank you, Lord, for rising from the grave. And, Father, there may be some people here this morning that may not understand what that even means. So, God, I pray when we get into the scriptures in just a few moments that you would help me to speak in all simplicity. Help me, Lord, preach simply to a simple-minded people. And Father, we love you. Bless this offering. And we pray that you'd use it for the ongoing ministry here at the church and on foreign fields. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas offering every year, and at that time we just give the people begins to sing. So if you have a special Easter offering, or maybe you didn't plan to give, and you have a little extra you want to give now, then that would be, this would be a great time. So as Brother Allen sings.
You're welcome to go ahead and come down as you like. We're just going to sing a couple of verses, and then have the church join in the chorus. All right. God sings His Son.
Life abundantly, my prayer is that today that you would embrace Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So that 100 years from now, when we're gone from this earth, you would be in heaven with Him, where there is forever joy, forever peace, and forever love. This morning, I'd ask you to go ahead and make your way to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1. It's going to be just a few moments before we get to Matthew, chapter number 1. I kind of want to give you an introduction. I want to preface what I'm about to preach on this morning. And I want to ask everybody a question. How important is a promise to you? How important is it to you that someone keeps their promise that they made to you? How important is a promise to you this morning? You don't have to say anything. Just think about it with me. Follow me on the trail that we're about to go down. How important is a promise to you? To children, promises are very important, aren't they? If you're a parent this morning and you've had children when they were young, now they're older, or maybe you currently have children that are young now, you know, parent, if you say, "I promise," they're going to hold you to that promise. If for some reason you break that promise, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, "Mom, Dad, you promised. You promised." And you can't really explain your adult problems to your young kids as to what happened, as to why you had to break that promise, because they're children and they don't understand. And that's why it's so important, before we make a promise, that we can remotely fulfill that promise. Now, this morning, when it comes to Lily, I'm not trying to embarrass her every service, but I do want to say, when it comes to Lily being our daughter, and especially when she was little, but even now, Christy and I, we were very careful to what we promised. And the reason why we were very careful to what we promised is because it was important to us to keep our promises. But not only that, but we know that it was important to us to keep our promises to Lily. Therefore, we were careful what we promised, because it was our word. We wanted to keep our word to her, but also we knew that it would shape her mind on how she responded to promises in life. If we were parents who raised Lily when she was little and made a promise and broke a promise all through her young life, even now as a teenager, that would shape her mind when she gets older to promises that are offered to her. "Oh, you won't keep your promise. You won't keep your promise." And a lot of times that is shaped in a young person's mind when they were young. So let's be aware that if we make a promise, that we are promise keepers and not promise breakers. And we always were careful to what we promised her, because it was not only important to us to keep our word, and because we knew that it would shape her mind, but that one day if we were promise breakers, that maybe she would even doubt God's promises one day. And so we wanted to be parents who were promise keepers. We wanted to be parents who followed through. And if there ever is a day and time where there needs to be promise keepers, it needs to be today. Let us be men and women of our word. If we say something, let us follow through. Because there are young people this morning who are watching. There are young people who are are listening, and they, whether they admit it or not, they want to see that individual who is solid, that individual who is steadfast, whether they admit that or not, because there will come a point in time in their life when they're going to lean on the one who's made all those promises and fulfilled those promises. They're going to lean on the one who's been steady and sure and steadfast in their life. And so let us be promise keepers. Now, let me just say this. At best, Christy and I, we made promises to Lily, and we did our very best to uphold those promises from birth to now, from the time she was able to understand what a promise was. And maybe, just maybe, on one hand, I can count the times that we had to break a promise. She's about to be 16 in September. And I assure you, the promises that we broke with her, they were instances where we were providentially, where we were just hindered by something where we could not follow through, but we always made it up. I want to share with you this morning someone in contrast to earthly parents who can break promises to a heavenly parent who has never broken a promise. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has never broken a promise. Even doesn't matter how busy he gets, doesn't matter how many children he keeps up with, he is a father who keeps his promises. And so, by the help of the Lord, for a few moments this morning, I want to preach on this subject, a true promise keeper.
Amen.
A true promise keeper. 1 Kings 8, verse 56, don't turn there. The Bible says, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Jesus is a promise keeper. This morning, briefly, if I could, I want to share with you two promises that have been fulfilled and one that is yet to be fulfilled. So I hope the message will be a blessing and a help to you. Number one, the first promise that has been fulfilled is the reality of Jesus' birth. The reality of his birth. You say, Brother Justin, this isn't Christmas. Hey, every day is a Christmas for the child of God. And I want to prove my point about his promises anyway. Don't turn there, but Isaiah chapter 7, in verse number 14, the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself, here's the promise, Old Testament, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel means God with us. Now that was an Old Testament promise. But not only was it an Old Testament promise, but this was a promise that was kept in the New Testament because we have a Jesus who is a promise keeper. Matthew, if you would, you're in Matthew chapter number 1. Now I want to read a few verses and bring us to my point about how he fulfilled this first promise of his birth. Matthew 1, notice if you would in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. There promise made and now a fulfilling of that promise, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to say that there was a fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy by our God. He said, "There is coming a time when I will deposit myself into a virgin womb, and I will live and I will walk among men. And I will go to an old rugged cross, and I will give my life to pay for the sins of the world, and I will be buried, and on the third day rise again, so that when you come to me and you need salvation, you can get it. And then I will ascend back to heaven to be with the Father, and in due time I will return for you. Then after that, I will return with you for the new heaven and new earth." This morning we see that Jesus, he fulfilled his promise. The Bible says that he was born. I want to tell you this morning, when you came to church, you weren't coming to church to worship someone who's a promise breaker. You came to church this morning to worship someone. You came to church this morning to look towards someone. You came to church this morning to deal with your struggles and your problems and to lay them at Jesus' feet. You came to church this morning because there's one who can keep his promises in helping you. I'm glad we serve a Lord who's a promise keeper and not a promise breaker. The best that mom and dad ever tried. Literally, we may disappoint you sometimes. And any parent in here, at best, you try to keep your word, you try to keep your promises, but being an adult and dealing with adult issues, sometimes you just fail and fall short. But thanks be unto God for the promise that he would send his son, that he would take upon him the sins of the world and open up a new and living way for you and for me. I want to say about the reality of Jesus' birth that Jesus orchestrated a lot so that this promise would be fulfilled, you know. Won't spend a lot of time here, but you know the story. You know how Mary was pregnant, having not known Joseph, and so a particular day there was a decree that was sent out by Caesar Augustus. Everyone, come and be held accounted for. A decree was sent out that the whole world should be taxed. Really, it's the same thing as being counted, so that there is a count of the general population. And we know that Joseph was from the house and the lineage of David. And so Joseph said that, "I'm going to do my civil duty and I'm going back to where I came from, Bethlehem." The Bible said that while they were there. Now, is that coincidental that while they were there, the Messiah would be born? No, that's not coincidental. That is prophecy being fulfilled. That is Jesus working behind the scenes, using things and pulling strings. Number one, Caesar Augustus had no idea that he would be the agent by which God would use to get Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem so that he could be born where the Old Testament said he would be born. And so there were some amazing things that were orchestrated concerning this first prophecy, the reality of Jesus' birth. Let me break it down to earth for you. You may be here this morning and you're in a mess. You may be here this morning and you've got hardship, you've got heartache. Listen, your world is caving in this morning. Everything's going wrong. I want to tell you, we have a Savior this morning. Number one, who wants to be your Savior. But number two, to those who are saved, we have a Savior this morning who works behind the scenes. We have a Savior this morning. We have Jesus the same way that he worked with Caesar Augustus in nudging him to send out the decree to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem so that the babe would be born. Jesus also works in your life and mine. Amen. You said, why is this happening in my life? Why am I going through so much emotional pain? Why am I going through so much physical pain? Why did I lose my job? Why did a close friend betray me? Why, Lord? Why? Could it be that Jesus is pulling strings in your life, getting you to the place you're at this morning? He has got you here. He is pulling you in. He wants to be the Lord of your life. And again, if you're already saved, if you already know him, he's pulling strings. He is working in your life. That impossible situation, that terrible setback, that ugly betrayal, he is working it all together for good so that you can be a more mature and a better representative of him. Let me move on. Not only when it comes to this true promise keeper, we see the reality of Jesus' birth, but number two, we see when it comes to this promise keeper, the resurrection of Jesus from death. That's why we're celebrating this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
His death, burial, and resurrection. Turn if you would, or listen along. We're in Matthew, turn to verse chapter 16, if you would. Matthew 16. I want you to notice the promise of his resurrection. Jesus, in verse number 21 of Matthew 16, he is speaking to the inner circle. He is speaking to his disciples. And the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go in unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So we're beginning to look at this second thing, that is the resurrection of Jesus from death. And so here he made a promise. He said, guys, I'm going to be killed. He said, killed. I'm going to be buried. 3 days later, I'm coming back. And we know that if you keep reading this account, Peter took Jesus, didn't like what he said. And listen, having someone in your life you absolutely love say they're going to die is not good news. Now, he told them he was coming back, but they didn't hear that. They heard he was going to die. They struggled with him coming back. The reality of that, they had faith and then they had doubt. And Peter said in verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Peter said, Lord, I ain't going to let you die. I'm not going to let this happen. Jesus, verse 23, turned and said unto thee, get thee behind me, Satan. One of his closest, he said, get behind me. obedience unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And on he goes, talking about servitude and service to the Lord. And so Jesus says, I promise you I'm coming back. And let me just say this, that those that are saved and those that go on to be with Jesus, we will sorrow here. We sorrow after them. We miss our loved ones. It was just the other day on, it was Friday. I believe it was. Saturday. Anyway, it was the 8th. When 8 years ago, my mother passed away in a car accident. And you see, that reality is tough to swallow. It's been 8 years. And mom gone way too soon. But you see, someone who has placed their faith and hope and trust in the Lord Jesus, this isn't the end. Amen. Those disciples were struggling with after death stuff. The resurrection. Heaven and all the rest of it. And so Jesus says, Peter, this has to happen in order for me to open up this new and living way. In order for you to go to heaven one day. In order for you to see your loved ones one day. And I want to say, glory be to God this morning, that I'm going to see my mother again one day. Amen. Amen. Mama, Paul. Mom is in heaven. And my prayer is that not only for my family, but for those who have sent ones on to be in heaven, that my prayer is that if you're not sure that if heaven will be your home, that you do business with Jesus now so that you can see him later. Amen. He said, Peter, I'm going to the cross, but I'm going to raise myself from the grave. We see that promise made. Now, Matthew 28, where we read the verses earlier in the drama. Notice verse number 6 of Matthew 28. He is not here. They came to the tomb and looked. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. He is not here, for he is risen. What's the next 3 words? As he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. We have a promise keeper. We are here this morning because not only he said he would raise or rise from the grave, but he did.
Amen.
You say, Brother Justin or Mr. Preacher Man, the guy who's standing up there, what does the resurrection mean to me? What does that have to do with anything? I don't understand the resurrection. Let me say it this way. The resurrection is very important, number one, and this is how it makes the most elementary sense. The resurrection fulfills salvation's plan. Jesus had to get up off that grave, get out of that grave, because if he didn't, he would be just like Muhammad. He'd be just like Buddha. You see, anybody can die in the name of religion. Anybody can die even in the name of love. I love you so much I'd die for you. Am I right about it? And has there not been extremists in our world who were following Muhammad who have chosen to give their life, though how wrong it was? Perfect example, 9/11, with the Twin Towers. Those planes were drove into those that they might have an afterlife. And that's wrong. Anybody can die in the name of religion. Anybody can die in the name of love. But it takes a Savior. It takes God Himself to rise from the grave. And I want to say on that third day, He got up from that grave as He said He would. And this fulfilled salvation's plan. Now, anybody whosoever will that has no assurance of heaven in their heart, has no assurance if they die that heaven will be their home, you can bow a knee and say, Jesus, I want to be saved. Jesus, remember me when you enter in. Jesus, remember me whenever I die. The Bible says, Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess, listen to me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The next verse says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Mama, I want to tell you something. The day I came home and told you I got saved, it wasn't nothing that I did. I didn't try hard enough to get saved. There was nothing righteous about me to get saved. There was nothing righteous about me for my life to change. I tried to quit drinking. I tried to quit drugging. I tried to quit hanging out all night. I wanted to know God's purpose for my life. I was just a leaf blowing in the wind. There was nothing at all that I did in order for my life to change, other than saying, I do to Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. He can take the most vile, the most wicked. He can take the person who's at the end of their life, and only if you would just allow Jesus to come in and be your righteousness, so that when you do die, God the Father, who is holy and just, no person could ever get through His gates with the kind of righteousness we have. But if we accept Jesus' righteousness, and then comes the day that we die, we can look at God the Father in heaven and say that I've accepted God the Son. I've accepted His righteousness in my heart, and because of that, He will say, enter ye in the kingdom. Amen. Would you get saved this morning? Amen. Would you accept Jesus as your personal Savior before it's too late? We see the return of Jesus, or we see the resurrection of Jesus from death. And the resurrection is all about Jesus doing what no man could do. It's all about fulfilling salvation's plan. Anybody could die, but only God, the God-man, could raise Himself from the dead. Let me mention this verse to you. And I got one more point, we'll be done. John chapter 11, just listen only. Verse 25, this is true for all those who have accepted Christ in their heart. John 11, in verse number 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That is a promise only the saved person can claim. Though the body goes to the grave, the soul will live on with Jesus, and not in a place called hell, which is as real as heaven is. Let me mention one more thing. We have a promise keeper when it comes to the reality of His birth. We have a promise keeper when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus from death. But you remember, when I first started, I said two promises have been fulfilled. But there is one yet future. And then there's the return of Jesus in the cloud. return of Jesus in the cloud. Revelation chapter number 1. I just want to give it to you. You just sit there and listen. Revelation, our Father's creed is up there. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Listen to this. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, in verse number 13, the Bible says this: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That tells us that he is coming again, that we are earnestly, continually looking and longing for his return. This is the blessed hope of the believer.
Amen.
But then lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 13, the Bible said, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which are those that are dead, those whose bodies are in the ground. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, or died in Jesus, or died, a Christian died, a believer died, being saved, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God reign with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord is the promise, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." Folks, this is going to happen. Okay? Regardless of what TV says and how they try to make us out to be crazy, this, if he is a promise keeper, this promise is yet future. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Ah! It's going to be much better than that. But I haven't done any sound effects in a while. That kind of sounds like somebody ran over the dog's tail or cat's tail. Or mama's foot. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that's all of those who have accepted Christ, shall be caught up together. That's where we get the word rapture, caught up. It means snatched away. Shall be caught up together with them that were in the ground. They go first, we go after them simultaneously with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The return of Jesus in the cloud. We have the promise, and you say, "Brother Justin, where is the word that that word is fulfilled?" Hadn't happened yet. But when it does happen, let me read you this. This is what it's going to be like after it happens. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. This is what a person who has said yes to Jesus is looking forward to. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, shall be with them and be their God. Listen, what we had to look forward to, as I said last Sunday night, it was there are some no mores in heaven. God shall, Bible said verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Please listen to this verse. Verse number 5, please listen. We have a promise that He's coming for those that are saved. It is yet to be fulfilled, but it's going to happen. Verse 5 says, and He said, and He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. Did you get that?
Amen.
He just described to us what it's going to be like when He fulfills this promise of coming for us. He said, I'm coming to get you one day, and when I do, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. Things will be back to the way they were before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. In this new heaven, this new earth, there's going to be no more death and sorrow and crying. There's going to be no more pain. The former things are passed away. And He said, John, write this. He said, these words are faithful and true. If He promised He was going to be born, and He came. If He promised He was going to come, bleed and die, be buried, arise again, and He did. And He said He's coming again. Based upon the authority of the Word of God, what makes you believe that He ain't coming? I know that ain't good English, but I like saying it. What makes you think that He's not going to fulfill this promise? Listen, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
If you're not here, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, it is a God of the song. If you are here this morning under the sound of my voice and you do not know that if you die today, heaven be your home, please, 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 please accept Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, listen, we'll be looking out for you. I will pray with you. Others will come. The altar, those who are in the altar ministry will come. Don't put it off any longer. This may be your last chance. And then one day when Jesus comes, no man knows the hour nor the time, but when He does come, and He's coming because He's a promise keeper, then you will also be in that number where there's, in a place where there's no more pain. In a place where there's no more sorrow. In a place where there's no more sickness. A place where there's no more death. Why in the world would we put something like that off? It's not by righteous works that we have done, so you don't have to worry about earning it or living a perfect life. But it's by the blood that He saved us and wants to save. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, would you please come? Even those that are saved that know Him, you may want to come as well. Whatever the case is, whatever the need is, you respond to the first verse if the Lord is speaking. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come this morning, you come. We'll meet you at the altar.
Anybody else?
this is still invitation time. And so I'm going to pray. And if you're here this morning and you need prayer of any kind, again, just slip your hand up as we pray. And only me and the Lord are looking. We just want to know. We just want to know who's here that needs prayer. So let's bow our heads this morning and let's have a time of prayer together. Father, if you need prayer, just slip your hand up. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We're getting ready to dismiss the service. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, I pray for those who have their hands up, those who have slipped a hand up this morning. And Lord, I pray for those who may be here and you're really still not understanding what this is all about. Father, I've tried my best to make it clear. But Lord, you do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be with these who raised their hands. I pray that you would deal with every heart. Give peace where peace is needed. Give assurance where assurance is needed. But Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you personally, I pray, God, that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to their hearts personally and allow them, Lord, to know what they need to do and call out to you. Do what only you can do. Be with us all and keep us safe and go our separate ways today. We thank you for the resurrection and fulfilling salvation's plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll go ahead and conclude the invitation times there. I want to say thank you for coming and happy Easter to you. And I hope, pray you got some more picked out to leave. I'm sure you did.
Thank you.